The Olympics are going on right now. Have you been watching the Olympics? We're definitely not athletic people at my house, except for the Olympics. I just love the Olympics. All of these impressive athletes, these gymnasts, swimmers, runners, breakdancers this year, yeah, all performing on this worldwide stage for a gold medal. And some, even more than getting a medal, some are doing, or they're aiming to do, the best that's ever been done in their sport. Like, some are giving world record-breaking performances. This guy, this is Noah Lyles. He's an American sprinter. He's racing in the Olympics this year. And Noah Lyles is confident. Too confident, all right? He's, like, ridiculously outlandishly too confident, probably. But he's confident that he will, this week, be named the fastest person ever. The fastest person ever. Right now, that title still belongs to a guy named Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt is a retired Jamaican sprinter. Bolt ran, see if you can get your brain around this, 100 meters in 9.58 seconds. Noah Lyles, this sprinter, is like, I can do that. I can do better than that. It's like, I've never had that thought ever in my life. I don't know about you. I'm like, I don't want to run 100 meters in less than 10 seconds. I don't want to run 100 meters at all. Like, that doesn't sound any good to me at all. But Noah Lyles is like, yes, I'm going big. He's like the biggest. Now, at some point, that record is going to hit a barrier, right? Like people can only run so fast. there's got to be a limit. What is the limit for how fast, how quickly the human body can move? But don't tell that to Noah Lyles. There's an article I read this week about Noah Lyles that said, Lyles rejects the very idea of a limit. And this is his quote. He says, "Why can't I?" Lyles said. "If you turn off your mind and let your body just run, you see amazing things happen." All right, dude. Is there a limit? Some of these Olympians would say, no way. These athletes are there at the Olympics to do big things beyond what anyone has ever done before, beyond what anyone has imagined could be done before. Some believe there really is no limit. Or if there is, I'm going to test it out. And we find that same kind of belief in the Bible from some of the people in the very first church. These people who believed and who lived like they believed that God has no limit. That he is so big. And they prayed like they believed it too. They prayed big prayers. They prayed prayers that went beyond the limit of what seemed logical, what seemed possible. Big prayers that only a big God could answer. That only a big God could make happen. They prayed big prayers. And God does answer. I find that I don't have a Noah Lyles mindset when it comes to prayer, generally. I tend to pray small prayers, manageable prayers. Maybe you're like me. Do you pray prayers that, if they don't get answered, then I'm not going to be that disappointed. I'm not going to be that crushed about it. Prayers that too often have limits, that I put limits around. I limit what I pray for. I keep it small. TCC, I wonder, churches that describe our prayers as a church. But the Bible, this morning we'll see, the Bible gives us a model of a church, of this first church that prays to a big God, big prayers. Would you open your Bibles with me there today to the book of Acts in chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. It's page 532. If you're using one of the blue Bibles in the seats. Acts chapter 4, page 532. We're on week 9 of 10 in our series titled Let's Pray. And each week of this series we've been selecting prayers in the Bible that we can pray. Prayers in here that we can use as our own. And today's prayer is one that the people in the church pray together. It's a prayer that's prayed collectively by the people of God in that first church. Acts chapter 4, Acts is one of the Bible's most thrilling books. Acts is 28 action-packed chapters about how the good news, how the gospel of Jesus spread to the entire world in the first century. And it spreads through the church. It spreads through the church. The church, which all through the book of Acts is characterized by prayer. The people of God in this book of the Bible are praying together. They're praying together all the time. Prayer is mentioned specifically in the book of Acts. Prayer is mentioned 20 times in the 28 chapters of Acts. Prayer is a central activity of the church. The church prays together. And in our text here, in Acts chapter 4, we're going to read one of those prayers, a big prayer, a prayer that can be an example, TCC, for how we, for even how our church should be praying together, big prayers. Acts chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 23, but we're starting today in the middle of an ongoing story. It's the middle of a plot line. In verse 23, we're going to read that two people have been released from custody. And so let's back up for a second. These are two of Jesus' disciples, Peter and John, founding members of the first church. They've just been released from custody. Earlier in this chapter, they had been arrested for healing a man. By the power and in the name of Jesus, they had healed a man, and then they had been speaking about Jesus. And the authorities arrested them for those things, particularly for speaking the message of the gospel, the message of the good news of Jesus. They had been jailed overnight. They had been questioned. They had been threatened, and they had been ordered not to speak about Jesus again. Close down the Jesus talk, right? And in verse 23, they're finally released. Let's read Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." Peter and John they're released, and what do? Look again at verse 23. It says they went to their friends. I love that. They went to their friends. The literal translation is they went to their own. They went to their own. They found their people. They went to the local church. They go back to the church. And what do their own do? What does the church do? The church heard it, and it says they lifted their voices together to God. They listened, and they prayed. Which this is instructive for us as a church, too. It should be. Church, are we listening to one another and then actually really just praying together? Praying for one another. Think about what the church in Acts chapter 4 could have done right here instead of prayed. We could finish that in verse 24. It says, when they heard it, they, and we could maybe finish that sentence by saying, they said encouraging things to one another, right? I mean, these guys just got released from prison. This is good news. We're patting each other on the back. All right, everything's going to be okay. They could have said encouraging things to one another. They could have, and I think this is probably what I would have done. They got back to the church, and they could have made a plan. Okay, they said we can't talk about Jesus, so let's strategize and let's figure out how can we do what we think we're supposed to. They could have made a plan. They could have worried together, which is also something I probably would have been doing. They heard about their story, and they could have worried together. They could have even got back together and say, "Hey, I'm going to pray for you," right? They could have told each other, "Hey, we're going to pray for each other. We're going to make sure we put that on the calendar." They could have acknowledged that prayer was something important to do, but not actually prayed. They could have done that, but no. When they heard it, the text says, they lifted their voices together to God. They prayed. They received the report, and then the whole gathering just pauses, and prayer happens right then. They don't do anything else. They pray together. We need more praying together, church. We need more praying together. That's the practice of this early church. They lifted their voices together to God in prayer. And what do they pray? What is the content of their prayer? They ask a big God to give them big boldness as He does big wonders among them. We're going to examine their prayer in those kind of three sections this morning. First, they pray, "You are a big God. You are a big God." That's what they're recognizing in the very first two words of this prayer in verse 24, midway through verse 24, when they say, "Sovereign Lord." Sovereign Lord. The way that even the church addresses God, the words that they use imply someone, sovereign implies someone who has unrestricted power, no limits, no limits on God, no restraint, full control over all things. You are sovereign Lord. You are a big God. You are unlimited. The church addresses God as sovereign Lord. And then they start acknowledging in prayer some of the things that God is big over, the big things that He's already done. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. That's another way of saying you are a big God, right? You're a big God. And they go on to pray in verse 28 that God has done whatever His hand and His plan had predestined to take place. There's no accidents here. You are a big God. You're in charge of it all. You're a big God. Actually, more than half of this prayer, if you kind of look at the back up and look at the whole thing, more than half of it is about who God is and what He has done. Big things. You're a big God. Why would the church focus here so much on the bigness or the sovereignty of God? Because what's the point in praying big prayers if you don't have a big God who's going to hear them? You and we're never going to pray big prayers if we don't really believe in a big God. We might say it this way: the size of our prayers is proportional to the size of our God. Do you have a big God or not? And we do, church. We have a big God. We have a sovereign Lord. And the church here in Acts is praying, is reminding themselves of that very truth. We have a sovereign Lord. Before they get to their requests, before they get to their big requests in a moment, they're acknowledging in prayer, we can pray these things because of who You are. You're a big God. What a good way to start a prayer. Sovereign Lord, You can handle it. You are sovereign Lord. You are over all things. You are sovereign Lord who directs and plans all things. You are sovereign Lord, the only one who holds all things together. You are sovereign Lord who is orchestrating all things to Your sovereign end and for Your glory. You are a big God. Don't we need this in our prayers? You are a big God. Church, we don't pray to a God who is small. We don't pray to a God who is incapable. We don't pray to a God who has just a small, minuscule interest in what's going on in our lives or in the life of our church or in our community or in our world. We don't pray to a God who is kind of distant. He is sovereign, involved in all of it and over all of it. John Newton wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, and he lived in the 1700s, and he wrote lots of hymns. And I want to read some lyrics from a sample of one called Come My Soul, Thy Suit Prepare. It's a great fancy title for a hymn. But in that hymn, he writes this: Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For His grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. None can ever ask too much. Why? Because we're addressing a God who, as the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine. Whatever limit you've put on God, whatever boundary that you've set, that we as a church maybe have set on God, we've said, well, God, we know You can do this, but this is outside of what You can do. Whatever limitation, whatever parameters that you've set on the bigness of God, expand them. Actually, why don't you just remove them, right? God is big. He is sovereign Lord. You are a big God. That's how the church begins this prayer. And then in verse 29, they ask God to give us big boldness. Give us big boldness. It says, and they pray, and now, Lord, look upon their threats. So look upon the threats of those who have arrested them and released them, the authorities. Look on their threats and grant to your servants, that's them, grant to us to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Give us big boldness. And specifically, they're asking for boldness to do what? To speak your word. That's what verse 29 says. Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. What is the word? The word that they're asking God for boldness to speak is the word of the gospel. It's the word about Jesus, the good news of Jesus. Give us, they're praying, God, give us big boldness to keep speaking about how Jesus died for sinners, died on the cross for our sins, and how he rose to life so that we might not have eternal judgment and death, but have life eternal with you. Give us, God, would you give us big boldness to keep speaking about Jesus? This is a big prayer for this church, especially because remember what's just happened. Two of the church's main leaders, they have just spent a night in jail because they spoke about Jesus. And they're released on the condition that they don't do that anymore, that they shut it up, right? This is a scary time to be talking about Jesus, to be speaking out about Jesus. And so given their current circumstances, given the place where this church is in, we wouldn't be surprised if the prayer is more like, God, please don't let anything like that ever happen again. Amen. Right? If I was on the prayer writing committee that day in Acts chapter, is there a prayer writing committee? Is that a thing? I don't think that's a thing. But if there was, if I was on that prayer writing committee, I'd suggest something probably like, God, place a hedge of protection around us here today, right? This is a scary time to be speaking out. That's what I would have prayed. Or maybe I would have prayed, God, take away the opposition that we're facing. God, would you just kind of make them go away? Right? Or maybe my prayer would be, one of my prayers would be, God, would you comfort us? We're terrified. We're kind of huddled here in this place. Would you comfort us, God, while we just kind of wait here and see what happens? But no, what do they pray? They pray, give us boldness, God, to keep speaking about Jesus. What? Are these people crazy? We want more, is what they're praying. They're actually praying, keep using us, God. Keep using us, God. Please don't be done with us here. Please don't be finished with including us in your sovereign plan to make the world know the good news of Jesus. Please don't stop. Please keep using us. Give us big boldness so that we might keep making Jesus obvious to everyone around us. Give us big boldness. Boldness. It's a prayer that God would actually intensify the work for them. This is a big prayer. This is a big prayer. And TCC, that's a big prayer for us too, isn't it? Are you and I in the regular practice of asking God to send us out with boldness into our homes, into our neighborhoods, into our community, into our workplaces, into our schools, to our friends, to the people we see every day, to the people we don't know by name yet, but the people who we recognize? And are we praying that God would send us to those places and give us big boldness to speak to them about Jesus? Ooh. Are we praying that God would keep using us as a church to make Jesus obvious to them? That's a big prayer, isn't it? TCC, this is wild to me, but TCC turns 5 years old next month. 5 years old. From a month from this Thursday, actually. And God has done some big things. He's done only big things to make sure that TCC exists and to keep TCC existing. Only big things. Oh my, we could spend all day talking about the big things that God has done. But let's not, church, listen, let's not now let our prayers become small or let our prayers become inward focused. Let's not now let our prayers become only about maintaining what we have or just become about our own comfort. Is God done here? No way, friends. No way. Then let's pray big prayers. God, make us bold. Give us big boldness to speak about the good news of Jesus. God, let us, let your church here make Jesus obvious. God, use us. God, please don't stop using your church. Intensify the work that you have for us. Use us. Use us. And give us big boldness. So the church prays, God, you're a big God. Give us big boldness to speak your word. And then third, do big wonders. Do big wonders. Look at verse 30. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. God, would you do big wonders among us? That's what they're praying. Would you do big wonders among us? Which, just notice together the verb in verse 29. What is the only thing that they want God to give them the ability to do? Speak. That's they're not asking God to grant them the ability to heal or to perform signs or to do wonders. No, why? Because that's God's work. That's all up to God. They're praying for God to give them the boldness to speak, and it's God and God alone who does everything after that. In fact, it's really God who's giving them the boldness to speak. It's God who's doing everything. But particularly in this, they're not asking that they would be the ones who would do the wonders, but that God would do the wonders among them. They're just praying, and praying big, that he actually will. You do big wonders. It's like, God, show off. That's what their prayer is. Would you just show off? God, stretch out your hand. Don't you love that language? Stretch out your hand. Make it evident that you are at work among us, not in little ways, but in wondrous ways. Do big wonders. What does that look like for us today? What are the wonders that we need God to do among us, TCC? What does this big prayer sound like for God's people today? It might sound like, God, let us love you more. Let us love you more. Let us have this real, abiding, thrilling kind of love for you, God, and for your word. Do big wonders in us. Do big wonders in each of our hearts. It might sound like, God, would you lead some people to our church for the very first time? Would you just week after week fill this place with people every Sunday so that they might hear about the good news of Jesus, so that they might be loved by the love of Jesus? Do big wonders, God, in our community. It might sound like, God, would you provide for your church all that we need? It's just a prayer that would say, God, would you overwhelm us with your divine provision? When we don't think it's going to work out, when we're looking at the numbers and it doesn't add up, when we can't understand how it's going to happen, would we pray a big prayer that says, God, you do big wonders in your church. Do big wonders. And listen, a do big wonders kind of prayer, it certainly sounds like something like, God, would you save people from sin and death and give them new and eternal life? That's a big wonder. God, would you bring people from darkness and hopelessness and to your light and to your life, to your endless love? God, would you make that person who, like I was, an enemy in my sin, would you make that person who's an enemy in their sin, would you make them yours? Would you adopt them by the blood, by the death and the resurrection of Jesus? Would you make them part of your church? Put them in your family, God. Do big wonders. God, would you let us fill a baptistry week after week after week after week to put on display the gospel love of Jesus, how you've made us alive from being dead in our sins? God, oh God, do big wonders. Could we pray? We can't. We're not able to do those things, but we have a sovereign God. So do big wonders. Do big wonders. Are we praying those kinds of prayers? Not, church, not so that we can be bigger, not so that we can be impressive, not so that we can be famous, but, oh God, so that you might be known, so that it would be evident that you've stretched your hand out right here, and that people might know you, that people might experience for real the gospel love of God, the peace of God, the hope of God, the eternal life that is real in God, your presence, God. Do big wonders here. What if God were to say yes to whatever prayers you prayed for in the last 24 hours? Have you heard someone ask that hypothetical question before? It's really convicting. It's really not fair. It hurts our feelings, right? But I'm going to ask it anyway, because I've asked it myself this week. What if God said yes to whatever prayers you asked for in the last 24 hours? And would anybody else, besides yourself or maybe your family, your close friends, would anyone else be impacted by those answers? If God answered my prayers in the last 24 hours, would anyone else be encouraged by God? Or if God were to answer my prayers for the last 24 hours, would anyone else maybe be at church here this morning? Because that was my prayer request. If God were to say yes to any of the prayers I prayed in the last 24 hours or the last week, would anybody, by the gospel of Jesus, be brought from death to life? Am I praying those kinds of prayers? The theologian E.M. Bounds, a century and a half ago, wrote this. He said, defeat awaits a non-praying church. Whew. Defeat awaits a non-praying church. Success is sure to follow a church given to much prayer. And when he says success, he doesn't mean bigger, more impressive, or famous. He means gospel success. He means sinners raised from death to life. That's the kind of success he means. Don't misunderstand him. Success is sure to follow a church given to much prayer. More time in this bustling age must be given to pray by a God-called church. And he says this, the wonders of prayer have not ceased. Oh, that's good news. The wonders of prayer have not ceased. And God is ready. Don't you know God wants to do his wonders among his church for his glory? So let's ask. Let's ask, big church. Big prayers for God to do big wonders here. Listen to this prayer. This is in a collection of prayers called the Valley of Vision. And the prayer begins almost the same as Sovereign Lord, but the address is to All Fountain of Good, which is a beautiful way to address God. All Fountain of Good, nothing exceeds thy power. Nothing is too great for thee to do. Nothing too good for thee to give. Infinite is thy might, boundless thy love. Limitless thy grace, glorious thy saving name. And the prayer ends, I ask great things of a great God. I ask great things of a great God. Would we ask great things of a great God? The church in Acts chapter 4 prays this big prayer. And then look what happens. Would you look with me at verse 31? It says, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. That's a prayer answered, right? That is a prayer answered powerfully, answered undeniably by God himself. The room itself shakes. That's a yes to a prayer if ever I've heard one, right? The room shakes and the church does go out. The prayer is answered. The church goes out by the power of the Holy Spirit with boldness. And friends, the rest of the book of Acts, the rest of the entire book is really the answer to what they pray right here in Acts chapter 4. By Acts chapter 28, the good news of Jesus, which right here is in the city of Jerusalem, the good news of Jesus by the end of Acts chapter 8 has spread to the center of the empire. And the entire world has never been the same. Never been the same. Because God's people prayed a bold prayer, big prayer, and God answered it on this day. Erasmus is a theologian in the 1400s, 1500s. He wrote about this verse, about verse 31 in our text. He writes, by this sign, the Lord showed that their prayers were heard and their hopes would be fulfilled. He writes, nothing is so effective as the supplication of a church in harmony, for it has to be a mighty force to shake the immovable earth. This morning, I can't guarantee a shaking room. Wouldn't that be incredible? But don't you know that God still loves to answer big prayers like this? Prayers for his church to have boldness to speak his good news. Prayers for people to know him and to be given life by him. Prayers for his glory to be made obvious in our community and in his world. Don't you know our sovereign God still loves to answer big prayers prayed by his church? Church, could we just pray? Would you stand with me? We're gonna close by singing this morning, How Great Thou Art. sing it as a prayer. I mean, that song is basically, "You are a big God," on repeat. That's basically what that song is. How great thou art. You can pray there where you are. Maybe today you know that God is ready to do a big wonder in your own heart this morning. Maybe this morning you know He's ready to bring you from eternal death to eternal life. The biggest wonder that can happen in our own lives. Maybe you know this morning that Jesus has died for your sins and He is really alive and He would make you alive this morning. Maybe you're ready for that. Would you pray that this morning? Or Church TCC, I just want to make a suggestion today, kind of an invitation. I'm going to, in just a moment, I'm gonna pray right up here at the front of this stage. I'm just gonna turn around and pray. I've been convicted. I know that I need to pray some big prayers for this church, for what God is gonna do here. And so I'm gonna do that right here. And I'd invite you to come pray alongside me this morning. I'd invite you to move out of your spot and come find a place up here by this stage this morning. There's nothing special about this particular place. God, our sovereign God, hears your prayers right there, and that's fine. But if you know that you could or you need to start praying big prayers for Tradewind Community Church, for your life and your involvement here, and for what He wants to do in the next 5 years, I just invite you, come pray here. Pray at your seats, and let's pray together as a church for God to do big things.